some of my songs I have casually mentioned the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Makes him feel mellow.
Welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Today is Tuesday, September 7th. I'm Jimmy Carboni. Co-host tonight is Ray Dieter and our roving reporter, Dave Broderick. We're back after a couple weeks. We had done some recordings up at Omegang Brewery, and we're back live. We have a special guest tonight, Paul Karmusian, who had made a great film, American Beer, and the owner of Barcade, which is a really great good beer seal bar in Williamsburg. How are you guys? Welcome back, everybody.
Hey, Jimmy.
Welcome back.
So any good stories from the last couple weeks in the world of beer?
Nothing we could say out loud. I think that we should keep them to ourselves, actually. We could talk about it later over a beer.
It's Ray's single
life. And Dave's
life.
Down here from Vermont, and he's got some of his hops. What kind of hops are those, Dave?
They're Columbus hops. They're smelling pretty good. And I just wet hopped a little carboy of double IPA that I made. And so I'm pretty excited to see how it works out in a couple of weeks.
It was beautiful. Well, one of the themes tonight is it's called flyover states. Is that what they're called? The Midwest? Somebody say
that's
yes.
Probably not what they call them, but
well, we've got our co-producer Bree O'Connor has suggested that our theme should be flyover states because she's from Minnesota. We may have some special calling guests from the Midwest, but Paul Karmusian's film American Beer. Paul went on a great road trip in 2002,
by car, yeah,
and met a lot of brewers. And tell us what's changed. I mean, you went in 2002, and it's 8 years later. Are there any certain brewers that we should think about that have, you know, tell us what's different?
Well, we went to 38 breweries over the course of the filming of 40 days. We were all over the Midwest. We were all over the whole country. Some of the brewers have blown up to the point where they're national brands at this point, and at that time they weren't. They were still pretty small. A few are actually, they've kind of changed hands and aren't in business, but that's, I think, just a couple of them. And then now, of course, there's, if we were to do the film now, I think there's probably 20 other breweries we would have to go to. It'd have to be a much longer
trip. Who are some of the brewers that you visited then who've really blown up?
We visited Dogfish Head when they were just moving into their brewery that they're in now, and they were in like a small, much smaller kind of, I don't know,
It was a brew pub before.
Well, it was a brew pub, and then they had a packaging and bottling line brewery that was off-site, and it was like kind of, I don't know, it seemed like it was in like a barn. Yeah. So they were just moving into their new brewery, and Bell's was just moving into, actually, they hadn't even moved into it yet. They were under construction. Larry Bell took us over, and we saw like what was going to become his brewery that he thought it would take him 20 years to outgrow, and I think he's already outgrown it. So,
all right. Cool. Bell, anybody else that's particular that
we went to New Belgium. They were already pretty sizable at that point. We were at Allagash, and they were very tiny. We were at
any great breweries that you went to that are gone now? Missing out on?
We went to Empire Brewing, the brew pub in Syracuse, which was making really great beer at that time. And then they closed. And I heard they've just reopened under new owners.
They have.
Yeah, they have. Yeah, Dan's been getting it over at the Pony. Like,
they have a special plan, too.
To work there.
They're actually going to, there may be, I don't know if I should say this on the air, they may be brewing out of Greenpoint Brewing in Brooklyn with Kelly Taylor, who's Kelso. So they actually may be trying to get more into the city,
cool,
which could be neat.
Yeah, I mean, at the time they were making great beer. It was a cool little brew pub. You know, we picked a few brew pubs that were just brew pubs that didn't have like a real brand, just to see what, you know, to show kind of what small brew pubs are like. We also went to Burt Grant's, and that's no longer longer around.
Well, like, how did you choose the places that you went to?
We tried to choose some. We tried to do a mix. We tried to do a few small brew pubs, some kind of larger, more recognizable craft brands, some brands that maybe weren't as relevant beer wise at the time, but had a great history and were like Burt Grant's. You know, was, I think, on its third owners at that point, so it wasn't like they were you know, on the cutting edge of brewing, but such a great history there.
Did you have a rule about how far you go off the map?
Yeah, I mean, there were some logistical things to it and aspects to it that were, you know, this is our route, and, you know, it would have been great. A lot of people are like, you should have gone to Stone, and it would have been great to go to Stone. What they were at the time, the only reason to go to San Diego then,
just pretty amazing.
And it was way far out of our way, and we didn't do it. So,
so for people that haven't seen the film, like, what was the original concept behind the film? Like, what was your idea that you wanted to shoot?
Well, I had an interest in craft breweries as like I thought that it was a really interesting business. So much of the of all American businesses and industries are, you know, consolidating, where craft beer was fragmenting, and it was one of the real, I thought, really kind of going against everything else in business. So I was interested in showing that, and I was really into craft beer. I still am, and so the idea was that we were going to take a crew, and brewery tours are kind of something you don't go to, you know, people don't really go to I don't know, bakeries or like chocolate, you know, whatever, and do tours. But breweries, everyone wants to go on a brewery tour. So we wanted to go to these breweries and experience brewery tours, and, you know, see the whole country. While
even these small guys had tours set up, or did you have to like knock on the brewmaster's door? And
well, we didn't do it in a way where we just showed up. I mean, it was all very scheduled ahead of time, okay. And so, you know, and we got kind of obviously a different tour than most people would. I mean, usually the owner or head brewer was giving us the tour, founder of the brewery was giving us the tour, and mm-hmm. We got to do some cool things that were not on the actual tour. We got to tour the caves in Yingling that were closed off to the public. And apparently they had to reopen them because after seeing the film, so many people wanted to go down and see the
awesome.
Caves.
Yeah, a friend of mine just went there. And
yeah, at the
I'll
time.
I'll tell him to thank you.
Is it true that Yingling was one of the few breweries that was able to operate during Prohibition?
They were making near beer. I mean, they were making, like, you know, non-alcoholic beer.
Like malt beverages.
A lot of them.
Weren't they also making beer for the army or something?
Oh, I don't know about that.
I just heard about this, that there were a few breweries that actually kept operating during Prohibition. Because they were making officially for the government, which meant it went to like army bases and stuff.
Really? That seems
like I just heard about that.
So you're allowed to drink in the army? No wonder everybody joined.
Yeah, good deal.
You know, depression and all this stuff.
I think some also were making ice cream, you know, because it was similar equipment. It was easy, you know.
Really?
Just, you know, to do that.
I never thought of that.
Yeah.
And so you did this film, and when did you start Barcade?
We opened Barcade in 2004. So, you know, we filmed in 2002. I edited for over a year. We had like 120 hours of footage. Though, you know, I cut down to an hour and 40 minutes, so it took quite a long time to edit. And then we opened the bar actually around the same time that the film was finished and was out. So.
And how did you come up with the idea for Barcade? And actually tell people that haven't been there what the idea is.
Barcade is a bar in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, and it's we combine all American draft beer with and craft beer with vintage arcade games. So we have 31 machines from the classic period of arcade games, which is like late 70s to mid 80s.
And how do you keep those machines running?
They run so much better when they're on all the time. The real problem with those vintage games is when you shut them down for a month or something, and then, you know, they get wet or some water gets in, rust settles or something goes wrong. But running every day, they work great.
How do you find them?
Started by buying them on eBay, and then from there, you know, kind of met a whole network of collectors. There's a subculture for, you know, and, you know, enthusiasts for everything, so...
And then you opened Gutter, and that was when?
It was in end of 2007.
And where did that idea come from?
Oh, we just decided to expand the idea of gaming and craft beer. So we went to put 8 bowling lanes into a warehouse space.
It's a great place. And Gutter's in North Williamsburg, right?
Yeah, it's right on the Greenpoint border.
Yeah. No, so you're definitely like a leader of the good beer movement. And you're very quiet about it, too. It's the first time I've ever met you.
Well, I'm living at my two bars, but basically.
I know that filmmaker.
And he's making films.
Yeah, well,
were you a filmmaker first?
I was filmmaker first, and then you know, we opened Barcade. It's my partners and I we're all in the creative fields and in different things, and we were, you know, had our things that we like to do, and I was trying to be a filmmaker, but my day job was as a production manager, and which is a really stressful, like, terrible job to have in film and TV. So the idea was, and these guys had similar types of jobs, and so we wanted to open a bar so we could be more, you know, pick and choose our film and film jobs. And
has it worked out that way?
Yeah, well, I'm not making films right now. I'm a little busy with the bars.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Have you made any other films?
I made a narrative feature before American Beer called Calling Bobcat. And then since then, I've done some other things. For a couple of years, I did a lot of music videos. I did some cool little web commercials for Dogfish Head, actually, that were fun. So little stuff here and there. There's not a lot of time right now.
Paul, what are some of the beers that you have on draft right now at Barcade?
We have 24 draft beers and one cask, and it rotates daily. Everything changes. It's all American craft, and we mostly feature beers from the Northeast. I think right now we have I'm trying to think what our draft list is, and I'm drawing a blank. It changes so often. I think we have Rogue Meyer Fest on right now, which is the new seasonal from Rogue. We have Southern Tier Creme Brulee, which is kind of interesting. Tastes like creme brulee.
Yep.
Yeah, right. You know, they have their new fresh hop beer out too, the Harvest.
Oh, we have that. Yeah, we have that on right now, actually, also.
Yeah, we have that Jimmy's number 43 too.
It's really nice. Awesome. Yeah. So yeah, it changes all the time. It's hard to keep up.
And actually, Jimmy, have you told everybody what the theme is today? Have you mentioned that?
Dave, what's the theme of today's show?
Flyover beers, or flyover states, I guess. And we actually have a beer here since Paul
Midwest.
Brought up Sam Calzone.
Paul's movie.
Sam's got his fingers
in
every
pie. Went to the Midwest.
Pie.
Breeze from the Midwest.
Right. And we have a collaboration beer here between Sam and Three Floyds, which is one of my favorite breweries in the Midwest, Indiana, called Pop Skull. And this is actually a year old. I went out there about a year ago. So maybe we'll try that next.
Awesome. What was the first beer that you brought, Dave?
The first beer was their... they're Blackheart from Three Floyds. That's just, they make that on their own. And it's more of a straight up IPA as opposed to their Dreadnought, which is their infamous double IPA. The Blackheart's more of an English style, but it's still pretty hoppy.
Still has a bit of a kick to it.
Yeah, it does. And that's a year old. So exactly a year old I was out there.
Dave, you did a lot of traveling yourself, didn't you, at one point? You went out in your RV and...
I did. I didn't do it in 40 days. I did 72 breweries in 4 months in an Airstream trailer with my now wife, then girlfriend, even though our family told her, like, don't do it. It'll be the biggest mistake of your life. And there were a couple times where it was the biggest mistake of her life. But
4 months in a trailer.
And she hated beer when she started. And now she loves. She's got a better palate than me. Way better than me.
4 months is the way to do it. Let's take your time and really like...
But when we moved every 2 days, so it was pretty brutal. It was a lot of work. I'm really glad I did it. I met so many cool people. And the brewers were the best part of the trip because they could see us hitting the wall. Like, you know, moving the trailer every 2 days and hauling that trailer and then starting over from scratch with all these people. I mean, you did it. You know what it's like where you've just got to like... And I was trying to interview them, kind of do the same thing, do a blog. And it was tough. But the brewers just, like, they're like, you got to keep going. This is a great thing you're doing.
We just want to say that we're thankful to our sponsor, greatbrewers.com, and our supporter, goodbeerseal.com. We're going to come back in a few minutes. We'll talk more about Good Beer Seal bar owners who also have toured the country visiting many small breweries on Heritage Radio Network. Cheers. In northern soda, hot cold.
Rock City. The beer tastes bitter and the girls are pretty. Have my dinner at the diner, spend the night at the wheel. Gotta keep rolling, doesn't matter how I feel. If you're gonna miss me, it's a doggone pity. Beer tastes bitter and the girls are pretty. Stacking up the miles as you roll across the land. Gotta keep going, man, you gotta understand. The tires on the road and the engine sound like music to me. Hey, 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 hey. Well, I gotta keep a rolling, keep a traveling on. When tomorrow comes, you know that I'll be gone. If you're gonna miss me, it's a doggone pity. Cause the beer tastes better and the girls are pretty.
Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We're sponsored by GreatBrewers.com and supported by GoodBeerSeal.com. How are you guys? I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43. Tonight I'm with Ray Dieter from DBA and Dave Broderick from Blind Tiger. Well, guys, we have a very interesting night. It's a flyover states, as in Midwestern states. We're drinking some interesting beers, Three Floyds. And we just heard from our producer, Bree O'Connor, that we're going to get a dish called Tater Tot Hot Dish. It's something that she's made, and it's only made in Minnesota. We're going to get that, and you may want to know more about it, and so do I. But I think we've got a special guest calling in right now. There's a brewery in Minnesota. It's called Surly, and the brewer's name is Omar Ansari. What we know is that he first tasted beer at age 14 at Munich's Hofbrauhaus. He's a member of the American Brewers Guild and spent some time at Otter Creek Brewing. And Omar, is that you on the line?
That is me. You're correct.
How are you? I'm here with Dave Broderick and Paul Kermesian and Ray Dieter, all great New York City beer guys. How are you?
Doing good. Just day back from vacation, trying to catch up with the usual goings-on of a brewery, which means trying to figure everything out before it flies off the handle. So
cool, man. We've got a couple of beers here. Do you know Dave Broderick from Blind Tiger?
I do not.
We have not met.
He's a great New York City beer bar owner who's traveled around. And Paul Kermesian made a great movie called American Beer. They all seem to be familiar with your beer, and we're all respectful of what you've done.
Yeah, we know you.
Yeah.
So yeah, the beer seems to get around.
The one we have in front of us,
it's in our hand right now. We've got the Cynic, which we're about to start drinking. We've also got the Furious.
So when did you first start brewing beer, Omar?
Well, it was I guess a pretty typical story out there for a lot of other folks that have gotten into craft brewing, but a old girlfriend got me a homebrew kit back in 1994, and homebrewed on and off for quite a number of years, and dumped a lot of beer down the drain over those years. And it was about 10 years later, 2004, came up with the idea of starting a brewery. So up to that point, I've been a homebrewer, and ran into a guy by the name of Todd Haug that is our head brewer here at Surly, and he was brewing at Rock Bottom in Minneapolis. And 2006, we sold our first keg, so been trying to keep up ever since.
Great.
So what kind of beer is this that we're drinking? This is the...
The Cynic.
The Cynic.
It smells... that is our take on a Saison.
Uh-huh. That's what it smells like.
Yep. And, well, that's good. Originally, that was our summer beer. We did it just in that time of the year. You know, certainly a lighter style that goes well with the season. But due to popular demand, we decided to make that a year-round beer. So that's one of the beers that we're... one of the four that we have year-round now.
And you sell it in a can. These are in tall boy cans, which I think is fascinating. Does all your beer come in cans, or do you sell it in bottles also?
Well, we bottle some of the specialties like Darkness and Smoke just because you really can't can that small of amount of beer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we're going to can a beer, we've got to make at least, like, 400 or 500 kegs of it. And with, like, our anniversary beers, like our fourth anniversary beer last year, we made 90, I think it was 90 total barrels. So, you know, we're not even close to being able to can something like that. So the bottles is just for those small run packages. Mm-hmm. But I think we've got, was it 8 different beers in a can right now?
What made you decide to use cans?
Once again, that goes back to our head brewer, Todd Haug. He's been a big fan of cans. And when I was working with him at Rock Bottom one day, he'd told me that he was going to get us to bottle or to put our beer in cans one day. And I told him, fat chance. I didn't think it was a great idea, but
They're tall boys.
Yeah,
I,
yeah.
Is that, I mean, is it the only craft tall boy?
You know, some folks are doing that now. Half Acre's doing that out of Chicago.
Brooklyn's
grass,
doing it too.
Tall grass out of Nebraska. I guess it must be a flyover thing.
Must be the first.
Flyover states. Hey, quick question, Omar. What states is your beer available in?
Parts of Minnesota. That's it.
Awesome.
And that's it.
I got some notes here about it says Omar Ansari from Surly Brewing had to change local law to legalize breweries. What does that mean?
One of the reasons we were able to get this whole thing going was my folks had a industrial space that I've been working with them in for a number of years in the city of Brooklyn Center. So we're just outside of Minneapolis. And there really wasn't enough money to get this project started anywhere else. So having this space was kind of a key component of getting the brewery going. So when I looked at the city liquor laws or the city zoning ordinances to see what, if we're in the right spot, it said breweries were prohibited from operating in the city limits. So that was really the big challenge to get it going, and took a little bit of time, but everyone seemed to think the idea that more beer would be good. So obviously that was one that we were able to get changed.
And where did the name Surly come from? How did that happen? Are you just...
My wife and I were working on names way back when, and I think we'd ideally like to name something, local, geographic. That always seems to make the most sense. But, Brooklyn Center Brewing, I knew what every question was going to be. And where in New York are you? We've had plenty of that. So there's really not a great regional name right where we're at. So we started kicking around some other ideas, and my wife and I were flying out to Portland, Oregon on a beer drinking trip, and the suggestion was, what happens when you walk into a bar and you can only find Miller Lite and Lineys? You get a little surly, you get a little angry, and suggest to your friends that you go to another bar.
And get
so
surly there.
The anger fueled by the inability to find a good beer.
All right. That's great.
So and it seemed that the guys in this room are familiar with your beer. I mean, Paul, have you heard of Surly before?
I've had this before, yeah. And so you're only in Minnesota, so New York is next for distribution, I'm guessing, right?
That would be natural.
Yeah, as soon as we take care of our 2 or 3 year waiting list here in the Twin Cities, we'll get right on out there.
No, you're a saison. It tastes similar to the Sly Fox. There's a beer from Pennsylvania that we get in New York. It's a Sly Fox saison beer, and I think it's also in a can too. Is it in a can?
Yeah, those guys can their beers.
Yeah, and it's good. I like your beer.
Great.
Looking forward to the Furious.
The kids in Williamsburg, Brooklyn here love canned beer.
So, do you mind staying on the line with us, Omar? We're going to talk a little bit more about both Paul and Dave have had these huge trips across the country and visited many breweries. So we're going to ask them to tell us about a few of their other favorite Midwestern breweries that they came across
in
their travels. All right. And maybe you know them, too. You can join in with us.
All right.
So, Paul.
Oh, well, we were talking earlier. You were asking about the tours, and we went to Lakefront Brewery in Milwaukee, and... they purchased from the Milwaukee Brewers, they purchased the slide that Bernie Brewer used to slide down after home runs were hit in the County Stadium. So they had that in the brewery, which was pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
We can get Lakefront here in New York, too.
Yeah, they just, it's actually a little while, for like the last year or so they started distributing. Yeah. They make good beer. Some other ones in the Midwest, we went to Bell's, like I said. We went to New Glarus. Which was
so? What's the deal with New Glarus?
Which also doesn't distribute outside of Wisconsin.
It's kind of cult like, is it?
At the time when we were filming, they were in a couple.
We
other,
had it in New York for a little while, and then they pulled it.
I drank it at your bar at one time years ago.
Yeah, we had.
Omar, do you know? Are you familiar with New Glarus?
Oh, sure. We don't get them here in Minnesota. They're the largest brewery that distributes in only one state.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, because they just expanded.
Yeah, so have you guys been to the new brewery? Because I've heard that is stunning.
One of my bartenders went and said it was unbelievable.
Are they in a new location or same building? And they just
I don't think it's the same building, but same town.
Huh. Yeah, same. I think a little bit out of town, but it's really kind of a showpiece. It's supposedly they call it the Brewery on the Hill, and it's a farm style, I believe, for an homage to the flyover country.
A $20 million farm style brewery. Yeah, and actually Randy from Omegang is working there now, yeah. The former head brewer at Omegang, and is very apparently very happy there. And that's our connection to the place. Actually,
it's a beautiful town. Have you been to New Glarus?
No.
It's like a little Swiss town, so it's like, oh, it looks like Switzerland.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, it's cool.
And actually, it's funny that the first time I had Surly was on my trip down in Florida, of all places. And I was in Tampa and visiting with Brett Hernandez from Red Light, which is a great beer bar down there, and a bunch of other guys. And we went to this great restaurant, and someone brought – everybody was supposed to bring beers. It was BYOB. Or actually, we made it BYOB. And somebody brought Surly, and that was the first time I had it. And it was great. And everybody was talking about it.
That's
all right, Oma. One more question for you. Okay.
Yeah.
There's a quote from you. It says, "Beer for a glass from a can." Is that your quote?
Yeah. You know, it's one of the things we want to. You know, always get that. Oh, I don't like drinking beer out of a can. Well, you're not supposed to drink it out of a can. You're supposed to drink it out of a glass. You know, same way with. You know, we don't put 3 pounds of hops into the beer per barrel, so you can't smell the aroma. You know, whether it's a glass. You know, whether you're drinking the beer. I'm pouring it out of a bottle or a can. No brewer really is intending you to drink it out of the package. You know, you can't get the full experience of drinking a beer that way. Like I always say, everyone laughs when you say, well, would you drink wine out of a bottle? Well, no, that's different. But the same thing, you don't get the bouquet, the aroma. You know, it doesn't really open up until you pour it into a glass. So that's a lot of times people have an issue with the can. I'm like, well, pour it in a glass. That's how you're supposed to drink it.
And now so. We're drinking the Furious. What beer is that?
Oh, it's a red,
a little more
IPA,
hoppy.
American yeah. IPA,
woo.
Somewhere in there. You know, our beers aren't really.
Are you sure you don't stuff hops in here?
Our beers aren't really brewed to style, so it kind of falls somewhere in there. Maybe, you know, I guess an imperial red maybe is what you could call it. So,
all right. Well, listen,
it's delicious.
I'm not gonna announce it on air, but I'm sure that one year we'll make a trip out to Minnesota.
And we'll, can we do the show from there?
We almost went to San Diego, but nobody would sponsor us. So, you know, if you can get some guys up in Minnesota to sponsor us, we'll come up and do a show from Minnesota, okay?
I'll see what I can come up with.
All right, Omar. It's great to talk to you. We're going to go back to talking more about Midwestern beers and flyover states, all right, on Beer Sessions Radio on Heritage Radio Network.
Everybody do. Mary, Mary, you're on my mind. Folks are going and a place will be mine. Mary, Mary, wanna be with you. And this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna fully call to you. Cause I feel good tonight. Everything's gonna be right. Right, right.
Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We're here with some special guests, Paul Kamesian from Barcade and the filmmaker for American Beer. And we've got our roving reporter, Dave Broderick from Blind Tiger, and Ray Dieter's here too. We're talking about all these cool breweries. These guys have taken tours around the country. And one of the breweries that I learned about from your movie American Beer was McNeil's. And I've since carried them quite a lot, and I've met Ray McNeil. How did Ray McNeil and McNeil's get on your, you know, original tour route? Well, if that's how you would describe it.
Yeah, I mean, like we were saying, we were talking about earlier, it was picking a mix of different types of breweries, and there's kind of a lot of these kind of single guy breweries that are running the whole show, doing, you know, only what they want to do, brewing the beer they want, and that's it. And he was kind of one of those guys that we wanted to capture. A lot of people, I hadn't been there and I hadn't had his beer, but a lot of people were recommending that we go up there and pay him a visit. And it was worth it. Since then he's in a larger space, but at the time he was brewing in an old like firehouse that was basically
like many levels.
He walked in
on a hill.
You've been there. It's, the the bar
and
it was
kind of rickety, and they had lots of toys.
Yeah, it looked like it was about to collapse.
Yeah.
I always had that worried thing about it.
It's kind of built on a cliff.
Yeah.
So the bar is on street level, and then he's like, come in. You know, we didn't go and see the brewery. He was like, I think he was like, you know, we'll film it, and that'll be the first time you see it. So we're in the bar, and he's like, come on, come down and check it out. And we walk down these rickety stairs that are basically outdoors.
Right.
And it goes down like three levels.
And you can't imagine they could produce a beer that didn't go bad from that. It's like so. I mean, that original brewery was like, and yet his beers were. I mean, I kind of felt like at the time he was doing West. He was the first guy on the East Coast back in the early 90s to be doing West Coast, you know, super hopped beers.
Big barley wine. He had a big Imperial Stout.
Yep.
An old ale that was really. And he still makes all of those.
And is that pub still there?
It's still, you know, okay, the pub is still there, and now he's got a production facility in Brattleboro.
Okay.
Which that's allowed him now to distribute down here. So.
Right, and now he's all over Vermont again. There was a period where he wasn't while he was making the transition, but now he's all over, and he's in New York, and we've both had events with Ray. He is such a character, and he's also a fantastic cello player.
Yeah, he played for us when we did the film. He did a little private concert in his apartment, which was right above the brewery at
the
time.
Because he had upstairs above the original brew pub, he's got this beautiful apartment, and he would just be up there with this view of Brattleboro because he could see off this hill, and he's just up there like doing the crazy cello thing, and it was wild.
Wow, awesome.
I have to get him to do an event down here where he does performs.
Yeah, because he always performs in some way.
But plays the cello then.
Dave, what were some of the other breweries that you visited when you did your tour?
Well, some of the other cool things that we saw going back to Florida. I had such a great time. I was so shocked by Florida because I wasn't expecting much of a beer scene down there. And it was, you know, it was completely the opposite. And in the Tampa area, we met this guy named Bob Sylvester, who makes Saint Somewhere. And he, you know, he'd won tons of homebrew contests in Florida. And everyone kept saying, man, you got to open up a brewery. And he was working for Brooks Brothers selling suits for like 25 years. And finally, his wife was like, you got to do this. And so he sort of cobbled together a system for like $45,000. And like he had all these crazy, like his pump, which he would wheel around, was on a SpongeBob SquarePants skateboard, you know, and all his equipment was whatever. But he was such a good brewer, and he was so excited because his whole dream was, I just want to quit my job at Brooks Brothers. That's all I care about. And so I when I was down there, I called up Robert Hodson at Union. I was like, you got it. This beer is phenomenal. You got to carry this beer. And now it's in, you know, now it's in New York, and he specializes, you know, the Saison is his signature, I guess, but does a bunch of other stuff, and just a great guy, and doing some great things.
All right, Saint Somewhere from Florida. We have a listener in Florida who's emailed us, and we did talk about it when we had the Shelton Brothers on. It's pretty cool that the Shelton Brothers, who made their mark importing from, you know, Belgium and Germany and England, they've picked up on Jolly Pumpkin from Michigan and Saint Somewhere from Florida, and our listener in Florida didn't even know that there was a small brewery in Florida. Are there any other small breweries in Florida?
Well, now we got Cigar City, which wasn't there when I was there, and they're doing some great stuff. In fact, Sean Hill from Hill Farmstead in Vermont is going down to brew a collaboration with him, along with Ryan, who used to be at Duck Rabbit, is going down. They're going to do something together, and so Cigar City is all of a sudden it's in New York. It's totally on the map. So yeah, Florida's got some. It's amazing. They got some great stuff going on down there.
Paul, you said that one of your motivations when you did American beer was that you felt that craft beer was an industry that was, rather than, you know, converging, was just kind of just starting to expand and whatever.
Like decentralized.
Decentralized. Yeah. Do you still feel that's going on? Do you still think there's new opportunities for a lot of people?
Yeah, obviously on the large scale, you see larger breweries merging and doing things like that. But, I mean, you hear a lot of stories like this one of someone who had a dream of brewing and having a brewery and was tired of their job and decided to go for it. And that was a kind of a theme that we found with a lot of the founders and owners that we interviewed in the film. That they were unhappy doing what they were doing and just decided to take a chance and open this tiny brewery. And, you know, it seems like it's a common theme, a common background. Yeah.
I mean, it's exciting. I mean, Dave, you're up in Vermont. You're growing hops. Do you have any ambitions of making your own beer?
No. Never. there's no way I could make beer as good as those guys. But I enjoy, growing hops. I can grow hops. I can grow things. I'm not going to.
So who's going to make beer from your hops?
Well, hopefully Sean Hill, Sean Lawson. I haven't actually asked Sean Lawson yet, so this is the first time you'll hear that. And but, you know, whoever, I'm going to actually, this is my first year growing them. And it's funny because Sean Hill has on his wall in his brew house, "Don't talk to me about your hop project," with a big line through it. Because apparently, you know, everybody's growing hops now. So... but yeah, I definitely, there's a bunch of brewers that I would love to, you know, bring these hops to, and next year I'll have quite a few because they're growing really well, even for the first year. So we'll see where it goes.
Ray, you've been around a lot. I mean, you've spent a lot of time in Europe and other places. Are there any places you feel like you should go now to check out, revisit some brewers that you knew before?
No, I'm really jealous right now. I mean. I want to go on a road trip in America.
You and I need to go on a road trip.
That'd
together.
Be great. I haven't
in the Airstream.
In the Airstream. 4 months, Dave. I'm not going to marry.
No,
you.
not 4 months with you.
What are those smaller with it? Teardrop ones. You know, then it's like a little less work for setting up and taking down.
There's no bathroom.
Yeah,
there's
that's true.
Like no cooking.
Yeah,
the whole idea was not to have to eat the food on the road. That was the key.
I see. Yeah, no roadkill.
Brewery
drink
food
the beer.
Can be good.
Really?
Yeah.
You didn't. I would, if I was going to travel, I would actually want to eat the food on the road and the beer.
Sometimes you do, and sometimes you don't. That's all.
That's true.
I mean, think about it. It's like, imagine eating pub food every day for 4 months.
And so imagine what would you be cooking?
And Jimmy, what would you look like after that?
I would probably look like I am now.
I wasn't going to say that.
But I've been eating pub food for 15 years. But, okay, you toured the country. You were tasting beer in breweries, and you were cooking food. What food were you cooking?
Well, my wife is Korean, so we were eating, like, that was her thing. And she's like, I can't do any more of this America. I need a break. And so we would have some really good Korean food. And Korean food is great. It's spicy. It cuts through the fat, you know, and some of the starchy foods that we love. It just cuts to the chase. And so that kind of kept us going. I mean, we would just, like, retire to some trailer park. And
so
like
you brought your wife as your cook?
No.
Yes.
Wasn't the wife yet?
That was like a total... I didn't even know about that part when we started. I didn't know what a good cook
and
she was.
And that's why you married her.
That was like a total surprise. Saved me.
So next time we should all travel and we should get some really good cooks to go with us.
And actually, now she has a kimchi. She makes kimchi commercially under the label Laughing Lotus Farm in Vermont, and she's all over Vermont. And she's doing it's incredible. Like we moved up there last June, and she started this business at the behest of some chef who tasted her kimchi and said, "I need this." And then it just ballooned from there. And now I'm driving all over the state delivering kimchi. which I did today on my way down.
So kimchi is a good pair with beer, isn't it?
Oh, it's fantastic. You know, it's like beer. The great thing about beer is it goes well with spicy food, and mm-hmm. wine just, you know, it just, wine gets all burned up with spicy food, but beer, like, is perfect with it. And so, yeah, it works out
Dave,
really
what
well.
Are we drinking right now?
Right now, we're drinking something from Two Brothers called Bonfire. It's their Drunkelweiss. No, Dunkelweiss. Excuse me.
So, Two Brothers, is it in Chicago? Or is it Illinois?
I think it's just outside of Chicago.
Right? Yeah,
so
just
somewhere
outside.
In Illinois, but
yeah, it's in Illinois, but not. And I have actually haven't been there. Did you go there?
No, they weren't there. They weren't. I don't know if they were even open at that point. Yeah,
I don't think so.
It's changed so much in 8 years that there's breweries that are really relevant right now that were not even open at that point.
Now I noticed that you brought two Founders right there, which is chilling. Was Founders there when you were?
They weren't. If they were, they were not on anyone's radar at that point. As far as like
they were, but they were tiny.
Yeah, they might have been really small.
But you also brought something very special.
A very dusty bottle.
We got to blow the dust off this. Oh, that's like. So tell us about that.
It's a New Belgium triple, and this is leftover from my stash purchased on the trip. So this is from. It's marked on the bottom June 2002. So that was when I was at the brewery in Fort Collins, and. We'll see.
So New Belgium triple from 2002.
Yeah, that's so hopefully amazing. it's made it.
Paul, let's pop that, and Ray's going to tell us about the Good Beer Seal bar events coming up for Craft Beer Week.
Oh, wow.
Because September is a great month for beer, I'll tell you that.
Earn your supper, Ray. Come on.
Let's see. Where's the list here?
Good Beer Seal. So it's New York Craft Beer Week is coming up. It's going to be roughly September 24th through like October 3rd or something.
Ray, what are you doing for New York City Beer Week? What's happening at TBA?
We got a few events going on. We have a cheese pairing with Pretty Things, which is going to be pretty good. That is
Dan Paquette.
Yep, and Martin Johnson from the Bedford Avenue Cheese Shop, and we're also in Manhattan. We're having a every night we're having a different thing. And I don't have the list in front of me for that either.
Oh, boy.
Well, it says, September is a great beer month for beer. Great month for beer. New York Craft Beer Week is coming up. There's a few events that Good Beer Seal Bar owners are hosting that are like for larger New York. Patrick Donaher, who's the owner of Rattle and Hum, is hosting Get Real New York. It's a big Cascale Fest and other beers. It's going to be September 25th and 26th. It's going to be at the Altman Building, 18th Street in Manhattan. And he's expecting, you know, several thousand guests over the weekend. That's going to be a pretty neat beer event. I know that Ray at DBA in Brooklyn is hosting the third Williamsburg Cascale Festival.
Oh, yeah, that's
When's
right.
When's that, Ray? That's coming up.
Yeah, that's
it. That's it.
We're working with Alex Hall, who I believe is going to be on the show next week, right?
Oh,
next
yeah. Week or 2 weeks. Awesome.
Alex put together, he's curating the cast program now at the DBA bars, and which is, he's doing a great job, by the way. He's bringing some incredible things that just I haven't seen before in the market. And it's going to be a cask festival. We have, I think, 18 different casks coming in. And it's just going to be a great cask event.
Dates again?
It starts on the 17th.
September 17th, 18th, and 19th.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
So go to DBA in Williamsburg and check out the great Williamsburg Cask Festival. And myself, Jimmy Carboni, as well as the Beer Sessions Radio, we will be hosting a New York City Brewer's Choice September 30th. That'll be the featured event of the New York Craft Beer Week. We're going to have 20 brewers there, including Greg Hall from Goose Island, Garrett Oliver, Ray McNeil himself, and quite a few other really great brewers. Ballast Point will be there. Two Brothers, Jim and Jason Abel, been a really great mix. And the actual brewers will be there, and they're going to be serving their favorite beers.
Do you tell them where they're going to be?
Somewhere at City Winery in New York City. And but, you know, some cool things. September 30th, New York City Brewers' Choice, newyorkcitiesbrewerschoice.com. And it will be the featured event of Craft Beer Week. And Beer Sessions Radio is a sponsor.
Is that,
that
a black tie event, Jimmy?
Let's say it's a fancy cocktail party.
I want to see you in black tie.
And there's
tie,
very
right?
limited tickets. If you want to buy them, you can go to nycbrewerschoice.com. And that's basically supporting Craft Beer Week. So, as always, you can find details about these and other great events at goodbeerseal.com. We could keep going. We've got some special guests. Paul Karmazin, we've been trying to get on the show for
what's Paul
two or three
doing
months.
During? Paul, what are you
yeah,
doing
Yeah, what's
during
going
New
on
York
at
City
Barcade?
Right now, last year we did an event every night, and it was kind of a lot. We have one event scheduled. We're trying to do one more, so just kind of keeping it a little more minimal than we did last year. We're doing Cape Ann Brewing on Thursday the 23rd. So it'll be Fisherman's, all their Fisherman's beers. We do an event with them every fall. So we debut the pumpkin stout on cask, served from a pumpkin. It's a big, you know, the tapping of the pumpkin is
New
a lot
England,
of fun.
Baby.
Yeah.
And I just got to say at the Tiger, I shouldn't say that I'm bringing down, but there are going to be kegs from Hill Farmstead Brewery, the first kegs in New York City, which should be really good.
And Sean Hill?
Cool. Sean Hill.
Rock on. And I'm going to put a plug in for Jimmy's Number 43 with Sam Merritt from Civilization of Beer on Sunday, September 26th. It's going to be a nano brewery dinner. We have a couple of the small breweries from Long Island. There's Barrier, Blind Bat, and Greenport, and a couple others. It's going to be a nano brewery beer dinner to benefit the Brooklyn Grange.
I've heard about Blind Bat. It's supposed to be really good.
And it's some cool stuff.
And Barrier's, it's pretty small, right?
If you actually pick up the current issue of Edible East End, there's a great spread on all the small breweries on Long Island. This is pretty cool. So we'd like to thank our sponsors at greatbrewers.com and who have helped to bring this podcast to you tonight. Beer Sessions Radio is supported by the Good Beer Seal and Association of New York City Good Beer Bars, including Jimmy's Number 43, DBA, Barcade, and Blind Tiger. Thanks to my co-host Ray Dieter, our roving reporter Dave Broderick, executive producer Jimmy Carboni, and our producers Jack Inslee and Bree O'Connor, engineer Nat Wiener. Thanks so much. This is Beer Sessions Radio. We'll see you next week. Thank you.
It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.